I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me in them to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. As we contemplate what the Apostle Paul, under inspiration of the Spirit, wrote to the young preacher, Timothy. As was placed in the bulletin, the title of the sermon this evening is Hold Fast the Form of Sound Words. This particular text, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, was not only written to Timothy, but also was written to us as it is placed in the Word of God for our benefit. And so the direction is not just to Timothy, but to us as Christians as well. It said, Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul here gives a command. He said, hold fast the form. This command, we might say Paul gave it, but the command came from the Holy Spirit. Hold fast the form, or follow the pattern. Retain the standard. But of what do we keep? Of what do we retain? Of what do we hold? The answer is given right there in the verse. Sound words. Sound teaching. But how do I know the sound? The answer is also given. Which thou hast heard of me. What do we have to do? What do we have to do to obey the command? Hold fast to sound words. Can we say, well, you know, Paul preached it like that back then. And in the 30s and 40s, we had men that preached. And in the 50s and 60s, we had men that preached. And there were back then, there were guys that would stand up and they would preach the truth. And they would preach 45 minutes and care not if it bothered people. But it's not the same today. The truth of the matter is it ought to be the same. The same word, the same truth. Proclaimed just as it was from Paul. Matter of fact, you think it was bad in the 30s and 40s and 50s when people would preach 45 minutes. Paul preached till midnight. But how are we to hold fast the form of sound words? First and foremost, we must have a love for God. We must have a love for the truth. But along with that love, there has to be a certain attitude. So to hold fast requires a certain attitude. We're going to go several places in the Bible tonight, and we're going to point out those who had the right attitude regarding doing what God said needed to be done. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse 14. We're going to see one of the servants of God who was a prophet. I hope I won't mess up his name too badly. Micaiah was the prophet we're speaking of. 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse 14. This was a person who was known to prophesy the word of the Lord. And he was known because the king of Israel hated him. When the question was asked, is there not one who can speak for the Lord? They said, what about Micaiah? Micaiah, I think. I may not be able to pronounce his name, but I know exactly what he said. The king of Israel hated him because he prophesied evil concerning the king. The reason he prophesied evil concerning the king is the king was not doing what God said do. What did he say? He said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. What an attitude. What the Lord saith to me, that will I speak. What if more men today that stood in the pulpits of the Lord's church were to have that attitude? Well, the Lord's not going to speak to us as he spoke to this individual or others in during that time. But the Lord has spoken to us in his word. And if we speak no more or no less than what God has spoken to us, we will hold fast to the form of sound words. What about Joshua? As we contemplate Israel, as their departure from Egypt, and they're wandering in the wilderness. Of course, they were under the guidance of Moses, as Moses was guided by the Lord, but Moses died, as all will do. And a successor was chosen by God to lead Israel, and it was Joshua. And as they were entering into the promised land, as he was dividing up the land, he spoke to them in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, and he said to them a phrase that is well known, that is commented upon, that is often put on little plaques and put in people's houses. Joshua 24, verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua has the attitude that we should have today. There may very well be people all around us serving improperly. There may very well be in our community people serving improperly, some claiming to serve God who are not even children of God. But worse than that, there may be very well in our area some people who are serving God that are supposed to be children of God that are not serving properly. We need to have the attitude of Joshua. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We needn't worry about whether the fact that we're a small group. We need to worry about the fact, are we a strong group? Are we holding fast the form of sound words? You can't help but think of Job. In Job chapter 13 and verse 15, one who was a servant of God, who believed God, who loved God, who showed God that he would love him. Not only did he speak these words, but he proved it. You know the story of Job, how that he lost absolutely everything. The servants came running and said, the house fell in on your children. All that you have, your herds have died. All of these things, and never to the point of even his wife saying, curse God and die. He refused to turn away from God. Job chapter 13 and verse 15 says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. Now somebody might read that and say, well, see what Job said, I will maintain mine own ways. But what were the ways of Job? What had he done in the past? What had he proven? He proved that his ways were the ways of God. Paul uttered a sentiment very close to this, be ye followers of me as I also am of Christ. And Job, even though he knew that he was to serve God, he also knew that to refuse to do so was to his destruction. Even to the point if he lost his life. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He will continue to maintain the ways that he had been going, holding fast the form of sound words. You ask a child about those that went into the fiery furnace. Most of the children who have had any access to the Bible can tell you who these people are. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In Daniel chapter 3 and verse 18, we know the story of Daniel, how that while they were under Babylonian captivity, the declaration was made that they should serve no other god but the king. Well, we know what Daniel did. He went and he put his little mat down in front of the window and he bowed and he prayed to God in the sight of everybody. And we know that the declaration was made that if they bowed down before anybody else, they'd be thrown into the fiery furnace. Look at the attitude of these three. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We know how the story ended. That they were unhurt. Why? Because they were willing to hold fast to the form of sound words. In Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, we will see the type of person that Ezra was, the attitude that he had, the way that he conducted himself. Chapter 7 and verse 10 of Ezra reads, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." Now let's talk about Ezra for just a minute. Notice the things that he did and the order that he did it. He had prepared his heart. In other words, he had put into his heart the word of God to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. We go about and we think that we are doing what God would have us do. And if we do so ill-prepared, it's obvious. Matter of fact, I've often heard people say, "Well, so-and-so came here and they preached, and he was preaching from the hip." I had to think about that. Basically, you get here, you draw the gun, and you shoot. Is that any way to be? No, we need to prepare. That's what Ezra was doing. But notice, he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. And then furthermore, it says, and to teach Israel, or in Israel, statutes and judgments. So we are to prepare ourselves. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." But it's not just enough to put the word in our hearts. We must allow it to control us. I used to think there was something wrong with the song, "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay." Well, when you properly address that song, and you do it from the standpoint of David when he said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee," we are yielding ourselves to God and saying, "As thy word speaks, so will we speak, so will we do, so will we act." And so as we hold fast to the form of sound words, we need to have the attitude of these folks that we've just mentioned. To hold fast requires that we hold to something. Not just an attitude, but we need to hold to sound words. As you turn to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, we need to understand that we cannot hold to the words of men. I submit to you this evening that there have been men that have been able to speak great swelling words, to move crowds to do things. Great orators. Not just down throughout our history, but in our recent history. Those who could convey the idea and do so with words and get people fired up. And that's okay. So long as the words that they're speaking are the words of God, not the words of men. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 tells us, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." We can follow man, but if we follow man, we may very well do so to our own destruction. We may benefit throughout this life. We may be happy, or so we think. And then when we stand before God, what if he were to say to us, "Why didn't you hold fast to the sound words?" The words of man are the ways of death. In Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 20, we find that the words of the world are of no importance. It says there, "But the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before him." There's been a song. There is a song about that. It's often sung at camps and that sort of thing. And that's where it comes from. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 20. "The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him." But do we ever think about what we're singing when we sing that song? Why do we need to keep silence before God? So that we might hear those sound words. So that we might hear the teaching that he has put forth to us in his word. So that we might not follow the unsound words of men. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, we're going to see what Jesus Christ said. We know the situation that exists there. Jesus Christ had gone out into the wilderness. And as he was there in the wilderness, the tempter came, and he provided for him temptations. And every time when Jesus was tempted, he said, "It is written." But that's not all he said. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, "But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone.'" What was the situation? "If thou be the Son of God, prove it." "You're hungry. It's been 40 days since you ate. I know you're starved to death. See that stone? Make it into bread." "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Therefore, there's no need for us to eat," right? No, physically we need to eat. God provided these bodies so that we have a way to take in these nutrients, the nourishment, the things that are good for the body. But the kind of life that he was talking about was by partaking of the Word of God. The sound words. We know, according to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, that God has spoken to us through his Son. "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom he made also he made the world." We need to understand that when God spoke through Jesus Christ, it was no different than if God were standing. Matter of fact, it was in fact God standing there speaking to man. What was he speaking? You know, that's a good saying. No, it wasn't just a good saying. It was the words of life. Sound words. Sound words that can make us faithful if we just embrace them and follow them. But then, what of the words spoken by Paul or the other apostles? Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." When Jesus came and taught, he spoke as God, because Jesus Christ was God on earth. But then what about the apostles? What about the word spoken by Paul or by Peter? What about words spoken by those who were not apostles? James, Mark. The word was given to the apostles, specifically to the 12. Mark chapter 13 and verse 11 is speaking. "These were those who were with Jesus Christ. These were those who were sent out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. These were those who were given sound words." But they didn't have to prepare a text. They didn't have to spend time studying and learning and writing out an outline. Jesus said to them, "But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak. Neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost." Oh, wouldn't it be great today if the Spirit worked that way? In a way, yes. But we have what the Spirit gave. He gave us the Word. It is up to those who stand before man to preach those sound words. Those who stand in the pulpit and do so for worldly fame, for financial gain, for whatever reason other than to proclaim the sound words of God, are doing so to their own destruction. They may not realize it in this life. But what about the apostles? They were given the Word, "For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost." I often think about this when people say, when they're talking about someone such as what we find in John 9:31. I think that's the right passage. We have what is called an uninspired man. We have the blind man the previously blind man, I think he was. Or maybe he was the crippled man. Blind man, that's right. Previously blind, who had been healed by the Savior, who had been questioned because they were using him to try to trip up Christ or try to find out or to get someone to say something about Christ. And he said, "For we know that God heareth not sinners, but whosoever..." "A worshiper of him and doeth his will, him he heareth." Drew a blank there. And people will say, "Well, that's an uninspired man." Friends, there is not one uninspired word in this book, except for maybe on the title page that men have put in there. The words of God that are written here were given by the Holy Spirit. It didn't matter if an apostle preached it. It didn't matter if a non-apostle preached it. It's the words of God. The apostles were given the word. John chapter 17 and verse 8. The same word that we have with us today. Jesus was praying. He was praying regarding his apostles and those that had chosen to continue the work after he left. He says, "For I have given unto them the words that thou gavest me. And they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." Notice what Jesus Christ said regarding those words. "For I have given them the words that thou gavest me." The words of God, given to them by the Holy Spirit. We know that when Jesus Christ was here, he had told his disciples that after he left, he'd send the Comforter. And the Comforter would guide them into all truth and bring to their remembrance all things that he has taught them. The word of God. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, we see how this was passed on to these people. The Apostle Paul was writing to the Galatian brethren, and those possibly had been those who had said that Paul was speaking his own words, or that somebody had provided him with words. And he told them, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men. For I neither received it of men, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Paul passed on those things that were revealed to him for the good of the body. But what did he pass on? Sound words. Hold fast the form of sound words. I have a challenge for everyone that is a member of the Lord's church tonight. Hold fast to those sound words. I have a challenge to everyone who would attempt to get up and teach a Bible class or preach a sermon. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Sound words. We may not grow very large numerically, but there is absolutely nothing that stands in our way of growing spiritually. There is absolutely nothing that stands in our way of growing in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and the words that he spake and the words that he sent through the Holy Spirit. Hold fast to sound words. It bothers me when I attend a service somewhere. Of course, it needs to be understood, and it should be understood, that these services I'm talking about are in the Lord's church. I don't go to any other man's service. When the preacher concludes his preaching and he fails to give the gospel plan of salvation, what a sad, sad situation when there might be one person who has not obeyed the gospel. I once had a preacher tell me, well, I kind of look out at the crowd and I know the people, and Yeah, all of them are members of the church, so there's no need in doing that. Who knows what one person might be waiting for the opportunity to respond so that they might repent and pray or ask prayers on their behalf so that they might be strengthened. As we rise to the challenge to hear sound words and to hold fast to these sound words, I want to conclude with that very message. The sound words that constitute the gospel plan of salvation. 2,000 years ago or so, the church was established. The gospel plan of salvation was the same then as it will be 2,000 years from now, 20,000 years from now, or 200,000 years from now if the Lord has not returned. What is that? We must hear the word of God. We must believe it. We must repent of our sins, confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, being baptized for the remission of sins, and then live faithfully until death. The reason that people don't live faithfully unto death is because they don't hold fast to sound words. When that happens, that puts the Christian in a separate category all his own. It's called an erring Christian. There may not be any here tonight that have not obeyed the gospel, but they may very well be someone here who needs to repent. And if you've been involved in a public sin and sin that brings disgrace and shame upon the church, you need to repent publicly. How do you do that? You come forward and you repent and you pray, and we'll pray with you. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, we're going to open our songbooks to 662. All to Jesus I surrender. Are you ready to surrender? Do you need to surrender? If so, won't you come as together we stand and sing?